God, we're so grateful, Lord, for the fellowship, Lord. We're thankful for the word, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we start this meeting, Lord, that our hearts and minds, we invite your Holy Spirit to come in and be with us, be with the doctors. He gives this last message, Lord, that it will permeate our hearts, Lord, to help us to live a healthier life, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is this one on? Yeah, okay. All righty. Good afternoon. Almost good evening. In the show me state. All right, show me your eyes. I want to make sure everybody's awake in the show me state. All righty. Thank you for coming back. If you were here earlier, we talked about the mind a little bit. We talked about the body a little bit. And I think this is the lecture that will catch most of your attention. Any of you ever tried, to lose a little bit of weight, you lost some, and then you hit the wall where you couldn't look and get or gain it back? Any of that happen to any of you? Any of you are diagnosed as pre-diabetic or possibly diabetic? Doctor said you need to change your diet, but they never said what changes you need to make? Yeah? But here's the last question, all right? How many of you ever said to yourself that, you know what, I don't want to diet? I really actually want to eat. Let's be honest. Okay, so here's the first thing about today's lecture. This is the Underground Railroad lecture for dieting. I'm going to free the slaves from diets because psychologically you don't want to diet. What you really want to do is eat. If I were to say that you could eat and not gain weight, you'd buy the book, you'd buy the tape, you'd buy the food. No? You'd want to hear that, right? Well, guess what? It does exist. So we're going to learn a little about it today. Once again, the system did something. I don't know where Andre is. Okay, let's go back. All righty. Here we go. So, today's lecture is, why are you dieting when what you really want to do is eat? Let me tell you something about your brain, how it works. Your brain is an interesting spell checker. When you go to the doctor, this is never the conversation. You know, your blood pressure is okay. Your cholesterol is fine. Your glucose is good. So, you know what? I want you to go on a diet. That's never the conversation. The conversation is typically your blood sugar's going up, your blood pressure's a little high, and you're a little round around the waist or somewhere else. I want you to go on a diet. And you say yes, but it's not what you really want to do. Because you drive by Popeyes, you drive by the church and churches, you drive by McDonald's. Come on now. I can't tell you how many people, when I'm driving by me, hey, is that Dr. Oz? How you doing, Dr. Oz? What you doing here? I'm doing the same thing you're doing here. I got to get me some fries. All righty. So even the doc, falls into bad behavior patterns sometimes. But here's the second thing. So diet is a negative word. But here's the second thing. Your brain is a spell checker. It's incredible what God has created. When you talk, when you speak another language, your brain is actually checking each letter and forming a word. So when you say my name, colon, that's my first name, the brain runs through all the C's that you have, then it checks the O's that you have, then it checks the L's that you have, then it checks the I's that you have, and then it comes to colon. Boom. Wow. In less than a second. Let's show you what your brain goes through when you hear the word diet. It runs through all the D's that you have. It runs through all the I's that you have. Then it runs through all the E's that you have. And before you get to T, what does D-I-E spell?
Die.
Not D-E-I, but D-I-E spell.
Die.
Do you want to die?
No.
And that's why you don't want to diet. Because diet to your brain and your body and to your nature spells death. And you want to live. You want to eat. You want to be merry. You want Christmas to be every day.
Yeah.
with all the good cooking that comes with it. So that's what we're going to learn this afternoon. So the first thing is, I'm going to go over a little review. Remember, we talked about when insulin spikes and when you eat meals, how your body puts out those food spikes. And we learned that when you're eating foods that don't spike a high metabolic rate, your body releases a little bit of insulin. As your meals get higher in glycemic index, and this is what it is, how much that meal is causing your metabolism to work, your body has to release more insulin. And then when you eat those really big meals, and by the way, the meal that we checked today at church was good. There was only one bad item, the bread. You're going to find out what I'm talking about in a minute. We actually scanned the meal that was prepared today. And the bread was the one that came out that, you know, you may want to eat it once or eliminate it, etc. But we'll find out what I'm talking about. So we said that you cannot put out these type of meals that provoke high glycemic responses with this amount of insulin. All right. So I want to talk about what happens when that insulin is released. When that insulin is released to process your sugar, it releases a factor called insulin-like growth factor, and we need to understand what it does to a cell. You realize that you started as two cells, mommy and daddy. And all that happened was those two cells continued to multiply until you were formed after 9 months. When you were born, you're still a cell. Whether you're a woman, you're a combination of cells. Whether you're a man, you're a combination of cells. As you grow through life, you're still a combination of cells. Here is why most people hit that wall when they're trying to lose weight. They lose some and then they just can't lose and then they regain. Here is why some people become diabetic. They creep into a high A1C, which we learned was the glycosylation of the arteries and the nerves, and they can't get their A1C down because they don't know what they need to change in their diet, because it has to work whatever you're doing at the cellular level because you are a cell. And you have to understand how this insulin growth-like factor that comes from your insulin works. So here's what happened. You eat a meal. It spikes a glucose level. Your insulin processes all that sugar and then turns it into growth or energy so that you can live. All right, so it'll make sense. So one of the first stages that you go through, your first phase of growth, is called puberty. That's when the boys become boys definitively and the girls become girls definitively. There's growth that occurs. What happens at that puberty level is the foods that your kids are eating help them to grow and help them get through puberty. The reason why we have kids now developing adult-like diseases is the bad foods. Remember, we talked about it this morning. The bad foods that the parents are eating that are causing them to grow, they're causing their kids to overgrow. So puberty now becomes geriatrics, because we're speeding up the growth of the cell. It's going into the first phase of growth, but then it's rapidly being advanced from 19 to 40 because of what they eat. They get too much glucose spiking. The body has to release a lot of insulin. The body releases a lot of insulin growth-like factor, and it makes them grow beyond puberty. That's the first phase. The next phase is that these cells, once they pass puberty, begin to die. Once you pass 20 years of age, your cells go through a natural process of death called apoptosis. Let me tell you what apoptosis is. These cells start to die without an inflammatory or pain response. This is what we call aging. So the best metabolic phases of your life are going to be up until you're about 20 years old. But then you go through a slow process of death. So let me show you what happens at the cellular level. Your cell has a growth cycle, okay? This phase here, the G0, is what tells the cell to grow, to take the rest of the cells and continue to grow, to continue to grow, continue to grow. Let me show you the first anti-cancer mechanism God put in our body. Apoptosis is actually a godly principle. It is appointed unto all men once to die. And then comes the resurrection. In other words, what I'm saying, folks, is if we're not careful about our diets, what we're eating and what we're doing to our bodies, we can, one, accelerate our steps to death from the cell cycle. But here's the other thing. Listen to what I'm about to say. Every single cell in your body is precancerous. What does that mean? Here's the difference between a normal cell and a cancerous cell. The normal cell, after about 20 years of age, starts going through a very slow process towards death. So from 20, if you live to 100 and die of natural causes, it was supposed to happen. These are people who, you know, you heard they were like the lady in Loma Linda. She was 105, driving and interacting, and she had nothing wrong with her memory. She went to sleep one night and didn't wake up the next day. And she passed away. That's how it's supposed to happen. Programmed cell death. But here's what cancer is. All right, any cell in your body. So let's say it's the pancreas. The pancreas is supposed to grow at some point and not continue to grow. When it continues to grow, that pancreas, which occupies the right upper quadrant in your body, starts growing, growing. It runs out of space and then it grows somewhere else. That's called a metastasis. So the reason why it's very important that we control this cell growth as much as we can is that every cell in your body is precancerous. If it gets too strong of a signal to grow, 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 it can become a cancer. This is why diet is so important, but at a cellular level. And this is why there's a strong link between obesity and cancer. All obesity is not that you have extra cells. It's just that the cells that you have started to grow. Sometimes some of those cells that are stimulated to growth are internal. And now you have a cancer. This is why smoking, drinking, insomnia, anything that challenges that cell cycle and causes it to want to grow, to want to survive, to get outside of apoptosis can cause a cancer. But it happens at the cellular level. This will make sense in a minute. So let's show you the connection with the app that we created and your foods. Every single food that you eat has a glycemic index. Well, I shouldn't say every. Most of them, the majority of them, have a glycemic index. And you've been told, most of you that go to the doctor, you know, when you talk about weight, when you talk about diabetes, they talk about improving your carbs. What they're trying to say is improve your glycemic index, because when you're eating lower glycemic index foods, that signal to grow is lower. So that means if that signal is lower, lower your chance of gaining weight, lowering down your A1C, lowering your march to death, all based upon the quality of foods. But when you eat foods that are high glycemic index on a regular basis, you're now speeding up your growth cycle, marching you towards death, speeding up your cell growth, which can awake a precancerous cell to become precancerous, and you're speeding up your metabolic process so that you age a lot faster than you should. So the most important thing in life is to consume foods that are lower on the glycemic index. That's the key with carbs. So here's where the app comes in. And this is going to make sense. So what this app does is you can take a picture of a food, of a product, of a label, of a menu item. And the app, we created the AI. Imagine that. We created the AI to analyze the food and tell you what the glycemic index is, but we made it user-friendly. So the app will take a picture of your food, it'll analyze your food, and it'll give you either a red light. When you're driving a car, what does a red light tell you? Stop. A yellow light? Caution. Or a green light? Go. So what the app does, it'll give you a red light over the food, a yellow light over the food, or a green light over the food. The red light means it's high glycemic index. If you keep eating it on a regular basis, it's spiking your blood sugar, it's increasing your body weight, it's increasing your risk of diabetes. If you eat a green lighted food, it means it's not doing that. And the yellow lighted food means that it's right in between. There are better options, but it's not a bad choice. So let's see how this works. So the first thing you can do with your phone or your iPad is you take a picture of the plate or the food. And this is an actual example. So here I have a plate. And here I just took some random products. This plate has a veggie omelet, rice, and macaroni salad. These products, a bunch of different ones. We ran it through the app, and this is what the app told us. Analyze the products. It gave us a red light, yellow light, green light. Everybody got that part? And these were the results. So what we found is when we looked at our plate, the omelet gave us a green light. The pasta salad gave us a green light. What was the problem with this plate? If we're trying to control our body weight, we're trying to get our A1C down. What was the problem with this plate? The white rice. So what a person would do is change the rice. Because what you want to do is get all of your items as green or as yellow as possible. But look at what happened here when we just scanned the random products. We found which is the product that you would avoid if you're trying to lose weight, trying to decrease your A1C, trying to decrease your risk of cancer. Which product is it? Which one is it? Is it this one? Is it the Ritz crackers? Well, yes and no. It's saying caution, right? Is it the sunflower kennels? Is it the tahini? Is it the Loacker classic crackers? Yes. So you see what happens is we found in the research that there were people eating 2 to 3 foods that were maintaining their body weight, increasing their glycemic index and not lowering it. So the goal is to try to get your plates as green as possible. And I purposely listed some of these here. Pizza. It depends what type of pizza you eat. Green light. Rice balls. Remember the other rice was bad? Green light. Gluten-free chocolate coated cookies. Green light. Hey, does that sound pretty good to anybody here? That you could eat cookies and rice and even pizza? That sounds good to me. Instead of dieting, it just opened up my world of what I really want to eat. I'm not Italian, so I'm not going to eat pizza all the time. But every once in a while, I want to eat a pizza. And it's okay. So let's take this app for a couple of spins. Any one of you ever been to the car wash? The old car wash was your mom and dad laid a bucket out with soap and water and that sponge. I don't want to wash the car. Well, you're going to be homeless tonight. Remember? But here, the car wash these days now looks like this. But here's what you got to get through, and they know this. You go to the car wash and you're either by yourself or you have some kids with you. Did you notice at the car wash they have foods? Like they do at Home Depot and so places that don't have foods have food items. Here's how the app can even help you at the car wash. So at the car wash that I go to, I noticed these, what they call paletas. And they were even trying to trick the app by putting in helado del sol. And they put in 80 cal. This doesn't count. What I want to know is, what is the quality of this food? They put Jamaica, Jamaica, hibiscus flowers, premium fruit bar, paleta de fruta. What I need to know is it a green light, a yellow light, or a red light? So I ran it through the app, And guess what, folks? It turned up to be a green light. So when I go to the car wash now, if I'm interested in getting a food item, I take a picture of it and I look to see the result. And that's how I know. So next time I go, I know I can eat the paleta de Jamaica, hibiscus, premium fruit bar, paleta de frutas, helado de sol. Because it's green. You ain't fooling me with all that advertising. All right. So that's a place that you can even use the app to snack properly. Any of you ever go to a gas station and ask yourself the question, why are they advertising milk at a gas station? Are they trying to appeal to those of us who are lactose intolerant to donate some gas? I could never figure this out. Is this a subliminal message? That the milk is causing the gas, or the gas, don't drink it because it's not, I don't know. But if you ever go to a gas station, they also have snacks. And they know that you're typically coming from work or somewhere, you're getting gas, now they do it that you have to go in to buy the gas, and guess what you see? You see a whole bunch of snacks. Well, guess what I did? Went into the gas station, I took a picture of all of the snacks that they showed in this rack. Would you like to see the results? Yes. Would you like to know what's a green light, a red light, yes, or a yellow light? Yes. You sure? Yes. All right. So here's what the app showed me. It showed me the Cheetos Flaming Hot red, the Cheetos Puffs were red, the Sun Chips were yellow, the Munchies were yellow, these were red. So, if you're in the gas station and you got to get something to snack on, the app will give you an idea what you need to avoid if you're on a diet, if you need to balance things out. Okay? Make sense so far? Yeah. All right. Also, in the gas station, they have drinks in the bottle. So guess what? I took a picture of the drinks. You ready to see the results? Oh, yeah. All right, here it is. Now, here's what I want to show you. Let me show you the lying of advertising. You ever heard of Gatorade Zero? Yeah. Low in sugar. Oh, yeah? When we analyzed it with the app, we found that out of all these things presented here, the one that came up red was Gatorade. I bet you didn't know that. And it says zero sugar. I could tell you how they can get away with the lying of the advertising, but that's another lecture for. I think I did that lecture here one time, food labels and nutrition fables, when I think Sister White came in and she was challenging me on the three rules. But that was, you know, I don't see Sister White here anymore. That's why I mentioned her name. But folks, you can just take a picture of all these products and it tells you which is the bad one that you should avoid. If you need to lose weight, you need to decrease your A1C. And you see, the reason why I'm bringing this one up, I've heard so many diabetics say, well, you know, I don't want to drink soda. I don't want to drink those sweet drinks. I'll just drink zero calories. Come on now. You don't need the nose of Pinocchio to tell you that they lying to you. Really? Zero calories? What they're trying to appeal to is a fantasy that you would like to believe. This is not really doing any damage. Well, the app shows you that this was a lie. All right. How many of you like cookies? But you were told they were bad. That when you sit at the welcome table, there are not going to be any cookies there. How do you know that? Folks, what we found out is that you can even run cookies through the app. So, we did an experiment, me and the lovely Mrs. Ross. We did an experiment and we bought some cookies and we laid them out on a plate. All right? So, just before we look at the results, how many of you think this cookie here is really bad? Yeah, you know, it looks kind of like it could do some damage. What about this cookie here? So-so. The raisins, okay? What about this cookie here? Okay? So what the app will do is analyze the ingredients so that you know the truth. All right. How many think, yes, you got it. The app will even tell you, you know, where it came from. So these are Subway cookies. We know now by testimony in the court. Where's my lawyer? The witness has confessed. We don't need the judge anymore. The witness knew the evidence without speaking, Your Honor. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Her punishment will be we'll send her some coupons to go shop at Subway. You ready for it? All right, here were the results. We found out that this chocolate chip cookie was green. The oatmeal raisin cookie was green. It's the white chocolate macadamia nut cookie that was yellow. So folks, I ask you the question, why are you dieting when what you really want to do is eat cookies? What the app did was the oatmeal balances out the damage of the raisins. Now, I don't know if Subway meant to do that. I don't care. What I want to know is what cookies can I, and you can scan all the cookies available at Subway to tell you which ones are good, which ones are bad. But are you starting to see the pattern? You don't have to eliminate these foods. It depends upon the quality of the food, right? It's not the packaging, it's the contents of the box. That's what counts. We're not done yet because we're looking at a whole bunch of different places that we could eat food. You ever go to Royal India? I've been thinking I would like to eat some curry today. All right? You've been to the Royal India? That's how you know it's true Indians. I don't know about out here, but in the restaurants and the places we go, I won't tell you who the waiters are. So we always look to listen for the accent. Hello, how are you today? What would you like to order? What's your name? My name is Ravi. Where are you from? Well, I used to live in Delhi, but now I am here, and I've been thinking that you people look like you're going to give me a good tip. All right? So, all right. I forgot to tell y'all, I speak in tongues. Sometime. You want to hear my Jamaican? No. If I do Jamaica, I know Jamaicans. I want to have a word with you after church. What the? You're talking, you're saying, you. What you doing that for? All right, I want to baptize you, but not in the name. You know, that's what they do. All right, so we go to Royal India, right? Royal India, this is what the app will do. You get a dish. How many of you know what this is? You have no idea, but guess what? The app does. So this is an actual dish that somebody ordered, and it's her favorite dish. I went to dinner with her. Man, y'all are really slow this afternoon. So, you don't know what it is, right? Who? Nope. I want to show you that you might be able to fool the human eyes, but not the app. So let me show, you ready to see the results of what this is? Remember, this is the favorite dish of somebody in the audience that I took to dinner. So here it is. Fish curry. This is salmon curry. So it's kind of in the yellow zone. All right, not bad. There's some other better choices, right? But there's a reason why Indians tend to be, you know, pretty slim. They're foods that they eat. On the other hand, however, Luigi's. Now, here's the thing, folks. There's no absolutes. What I'm trying to show you is that when you use the app, you can manage some of the problematic foods that you need to make better choices on. And in the research, we found that there were just three foods on average that most people are eating on a regular basis, that once they change those three foods, Number one, they didn't really need the app as much anymore. Number two, they started after a month to two to see the differences. I received an email from somebody I didn't even know, and she was saying thank you because she was actually a type 1 diabetic. Within a month, she lost 10 pounds. I'm sorry. She lost 10 pounds, and she was ecstatic that the endocrinologist lowered her insulin dosing. She's going to be on insulin for the rest of her life, but she told me that the endocrinologist, she told me it was okay to share her story when I got the email. And she said, I can't believe it was only two foods I had to change. And then she said, I still eat the right chips. I still drink the right drinks. I found the right rice. And I found the right breads. And the correct pasta. And for, I'm not telling y'all something I'm making up. I had to change. There's an oatmeal that I was eating on a regular basis. And the creator of the app had to use the app on myself. And I found out, and she was laughing because she kept telling me, no, I think that oatmeal is bad for you. No, I think that oatmeal is bad for you. We ran it through the test. Because how is it that the woman is going to know better than the man? So ladies, it'll help put your man in his place. Because the app don't lie. Okay? So what we found out when you... So the other thing you can do is actually take a picture of the menu items like we did with this one. This is just a picture of the menu item. Anybody know what this is? What kind of lasagna though?
Meat?
Anybody else? That just said Luigi's. When did you see your ophthalmologist last time? No, what? It said Luigi. She's saying Olive Garden. No, but folks, I want to show you that you can. I'm just messing with you because I know you're at a safe distance and I have security all up here. So, folks, this is what I wanted to show. You can even take pictures of menu items. Even if it's listed, it's better for the app. But even if you forget to cut out, put in the name, you take a picture and the app will tell you that this is chicken parmesan. Red. Yeah. This specific one gives you a red light. Now, you guys bought some vegan macaroni and cheese, right? You made it, right? But wait. Didn't you bring the vegan macaroni and cheese? You did, right? She helped you make it, or you made it yourself? He made it. Folks, we took a picture of all the foods we ate today. The vegan macaroni and cheese. Can I get a drum roll? Oh, the drummer's not here. Boom! Came out green. Here's the thing. It analyzes the ingredients. We created the AI. We created the AI just to be specific towards foods. Now, it's not 100%, but in 90%, it can even detect when something has good ingredients. So what I'm trying to tell you is this chicken parmesan may be bad, but there's a way that you can make it so that it's better. You just have to pick the right ingredients. And a practical field example was, I told you, all the foods that we analyzed today, my wife even said, this is why Adventists seem to be so healthy and they don't even realize it. That the food that we analyzed today, only the bread gave us a red light. All the other foods were green. But listen to, where was the, I forgot who the sister was, I don't see her, who went around from table to table asking who bought this. Yeah. Did you notice it was homemade? Yeah. That's the key about processed foods is it doesn't escape the eye of the app. And even when you look at fruits and vegetables, have some of you heard, well, you're diabetic, you shouldn't eat this fruit, you shouldn't do this vegetable. The app will clear this up for you. So here's what we did. This is just laid out. What are these? Wait, who said avocado? What is that? Cherry tomatoes, what is that? And what is that? All right, how many think this is a green light? How many say yellow? Raise your hand. Just kidding. How many say red? How many say this is a green light? How many say it's a yellow light? How many say it's a red? Now, if any of you were here when I did my presentation on hypertension in the black community, how many bananas did I say you should eat a day?
One.
Look at that long-term memory. Right? I said you do not do more than one banana a day. Remember I said that? But don't trust my word. Trust the word of the app. This is why some of you diabetics doing all sorts of stuff with banana, because it's a fruit. Can't be that. And it's not that it's bad, but in moderation. So let's look at the results. Look at this. Boom. The tomato, and it even tells you. Green, avocado, green, banana, yellow. That's why you do one a day, right? No more than one. Because while you're trying to decrease your blood pressure, you're raising your, you know, and you're creating one problem, trying to solve another one, all right? Any one of you ever been to, like, you know, and I get a lot of these thank you baskets from different organizations when I help them out, because, you know, I don't have to change who I am. The same way I'm presenting to you guys, same way I present to them, and they're like, wow, you took the complex and made it simple, and then they see the power of the impact. Yeah. What I'm trying to show them is, if you have more black people in your life, there's a lot of complex stuff you have that we could break it down for you. We could make life simpler for you and better, right? So look at what happens with the app. People give you gift basket, right? And the gift basket looks like this. That is me. I didn't get my manicure yet. So those of you who are very detail oriented, this was before I went to get the manicure. By the way, guys, get your manicure. I mean, some of y'all, you know, I mean, you're not martial artists. You don't need to have your nails looking like claws. Get your manicure. Because, you know, that's the first thing people look at to see if you're professional. And you could be ghetto as whatever. But if you have nice hands, they'll keep their hands off of you. Right? Get your manicure. All right, so we took, and she'll tell you, we took a picture of the gift basket. All right? Let's see. How many of you, well, you might not be able to see this, but it's just a bunch of different items. Let's see what the app said. Okay. Boom. The app showed us that the main thing in this gift basket that we had to avoid was this. The Walker shortbread. All right? But look at the rest of this. Sonoma Jack, Godiva Jack. And this was the interesting thing that I'm finding with the app is, now this has a double meaning to it. Chocolate is very good. I'm speaking in double sense. I'm saying one thing, but I'm really giving two messages. We found with the app that chocolate is good for people. The blacker the chocolate, the better it was. You Africans are not catching what I'm saying. Y'all need to see the Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America. But what it shows that even you could take a picture of the basket and it'll give you the answer. What? You ever go to a gym? And the health products are laid out for you to... Even a gym has food these days. Well, let's see what happened. So we looked at all of these supplements to build muscle. Do you notice in the Guinness Book of World Records, no one is a bodybuilder that lived the longest? You notice that? It's always some sweet little old Japanese lady, typically. All right, the last one was, she lived to 120, I think it was, or 115, somewhere around there. But you go into the gym, you want to know if the health products they're selling you are any good. Well, let's see. This one says whey, this one says mass, this one says chocolate protein, this one says isopure. This one has a, you know, pseudo bad name. This one says ghost, so we definitely want to stay away from that. But what about the other ones? They have good names, right? Let's see what the app said. What the app showed us is that they all came out yellow. And now here's the interesting thing, that the app could classify that they're yellow, but they tried to hide some of the ingredients with the guy, and the app picked it up. So we know that it's a yellow product, but they were hiding some of the ingredients because there is no regulation on supplements. But it'll give you a little bit of guideline into the, so you can build muscle, but end up having diabetes. And that's the interesting thing. There's a lot of bodybuilders that have diabetes. Does that make sense? You know, guys in the gym looking strong and everything. And so here are the results. And what I want to show you is this app didn't come out of nowhere. We have 10 years of research and statistics, and what we found, this is what people tend to go through. They start something, they see the results, they fall off the bandwagon, it spikes a little bit. When it spikes a little bit, their doctor had a conversation, hey, your A1C is going up. They got back on the program, they stayed on the program, and at least at this point, look at their A1Cs, 5.8. So that's the, and the key is, now the grocery store is your pharmacy and your prescription pad. Because instead of you picking up another drug, you're just changing some of the foods. And so the app is, you can read about it if you want to download it. It's found that this is the website address, and it has the instructions there, or you can find some information on the app at lower6app.com. I post a lot of videos there, instructional videos. And the reason why I do that is the app does have a cost. It's like $10 a month or $100 for the whole year. The reason why we have to charge that is because we have to keep up the AI. And it can pick up foods all around the world. Every time we get a new food in the database, we analyze it, upload it, so that if you're going to Jamaica, if you're going to India, if you're going to Ghana, if you're going to Nigeria, the app will always be there to let you know what are the foods that you could, even while on vacation, start getting off your plan or continue your plan. And the thing that will blow your mind away is there's so many good foods to eat that there is no reason why we should be developing metabolic disease to the rate we are in the United States of America. It's called the Lower Six Next app, and I am done. I'll just go back to, let me go back here. Even with fruits and vegetables, you'll know. So I will, what's that? I don't have my phone, but yeah, she can do it for you. We'll answer any questions while Mafe scans that for anybody. If you have any questions on diabetes, the app, et cetera. Yes, over here.
I was saying yesterday, I had uterine cancer last year, and I had a total hysterectomy. And right before my surgery, my A1C was a 9. Mm-hmm.
No, it's totally possible. I'll tell you why. Most people after surgery, their appetite is decreased. Yeah. So here's what happens with most people. And this is actually interesting you brought this up. There was a time in medicine that they felt that if we could mimic illness, that would be a way to help people lose weight. Because what we found out is when people have surgery or they're ill, they can't eat as much and they lose weight. But they weren't looking at that dynamic. They were looking at, hey, what's going on with illness or surgery here that most people tend to drop some weight or, you know, in the A1C after they have surgery, or like even a pregnant woman after she has a baby. But the main thing was that they, you know, not the pregnant, that's a different thing. But the main thing with surgery and being in the hospital is people just don't eat as much. And that drop in, remember the rules I gave with the water, You know, and the portion sizes, that's basically what we're mimicking. And that's how quick you can see the results, but that's what happened. Yeah.
And they had put me on metoprolol, but then I was speaking with someone and they were begging me to get off of it because it messed up their parents' kidneys or liver, one of them. And so I asked my doctor to switch me to something else. They put me on Jardiance. But then the Jardiance had side effects I didn't want to deal with. And a friend of mine was taking Berberine. Have you ever heard of it? It's
yeah.
over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me a bottle of that. So I stopped those other medicines completely and when just started taking the Berberine. I do a blood glucose test a couple of times a week. And it's staying in a green range is... Can you speak on that berberine?
Yeah, so that was, okay, so there's two compounds in nature. Berberine is one of them. The other one is beans. Remember there was a time I gave a lecture here about the dark beans, how it slows down digestion? There's nothing magical about it. All it does is these foods, you know, supplements produce an alkaline tide in the abdomen, just like the Ozempics, etc. So folks, once again, it doesn't matter how they label it, it's what it's doing. So all it's doing is creating a condition of satiety, which causes the person to eat less. And so you see the result. But you notice the pattern? It's portion size or what it's doing to the physiology. So there's nothing magical about it. And be careful. One of my frustrations with clinical medicine was I always had these people who were getting information from their friends, and I would ask them, where did they go to medical school? A lot of times patients confuse what is going on with another person with themselves. The number one mistake other people make is they don't take their meds and then they fall into complications. And that's why their doctor had to switch them. The second thing that mistake that most people make is there are certain side effects of medicines. And sometimes they think based upon what their friend told them that they're going through a side effect and they're not. I still hear people saying that metformin damaged their kidneys. That's a lie. The diabetes damaged their kidneys and they could no longer take the metformin because they needed to be switched to insulin. So that's what really, so that's just an example. Yeah. Any other questions? I think we have, yeah, answered it. So her question was, okay, go ahead.
Is there a type of oatmeal that has a healthy glycemic level?
Yes, there's about 20 of them.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But unfortunately, I was eating one of the ones that has a bad glycemic index, so we had to switch. What you can do with the app also, it can search out. So if you type in oatmeal, it will bring up, it won't bring up all of them, but it'll bring up some examples for you. Or you go to the oatmeal section of, you know, your health food store, et cetera, and what have you, you take a picture and it'll tell you which one is the better one for you. Yep. Any other questions? Okay, we got a question back. Oh, a question up here and then back there, or back there and then up here. We'll get you next. Yeah. So let me tell people how metformin works. All right? Because a lot of people don't, you know, they don't. What metformin does is it processes about half the calories you consume. You can actually use metformin to lose weight if you need to. But here's the problem. The dietary changes typically are not made. All metformin does is if you eat 1,000 calories, the medicine is processing half of them. And your body processes the rest. So in essence, what metformin is doing is, you know, kind of causing you to process less calories, which means that your diabetes should get better. Unfortunately, what has happened is, how many of your doctors, you know, have told you, well, you need to lose weight, you need to get on a diet, but they never sat down and told you how or why. They never said, bring in a list of what you're eating. We're going to go through it and see what you need to change. Or they send you to a nutritionist, bless their heart, they're wonderful people, but not all of us eat European-style foods.
Exactly.
You can't have Pablo Gonzalez Juarez going to the nutritionist and she's saying, okay, is it Pablo or Pablo? I'm not sure, but Pablo, what type of baguettes are you eating? Pues yo no como baguettes. ¿Qué es eso? ¿Es una forma de tacos? What I'm trying to say is that a lot of these nutritionists have been trained to just deal with a European diet. But I'm sure Brother Kwame, if he needed a nutritionist, he's going to be what you're talking about. I haven't even been to Europe. You know, so the app helps you design things that are specific to your foods. We analyze Jamaican foods. We analyze Chinese foods. We analyze Italian foods, Indian foods. And it gave us a guide as to what is good and what is bad. A question back here.
Okay, so what about fasting? What about fasting, like after 18 hours, your body enters into eating, into ketosis? How does that affect, and is it possible if you are diabetic?
Okay, so I don't recommend fasting if it's not in your psychological nature. Here's what I mean. You can force yourself to fast. Jesus talked about fasting, but it didn't have to do with food. It had to do more with concentrating on spiritual things. And when Jesus talked about fasting, you needed to have a purpose for it to accomplish. So here's my opinion on fasting. If it works for you, continue to do it. But don't preach it as a religion, as a gospel, a new church, top SDA fasting, you know, saints. If it works for you, fine. If it doesn't work for other people, leave them alone.
Well, I mean, because, from a health standpoint, so is it... at some point, your body starts to eat, you know, not the sugars, but the, I guess, the fats in your body. So is that good to use that as a way of staying healthy or getting healthy or whatever? Like you say, intermittent fasting, which to me is the way we used to eat, like breakfast, wait a while, lunch, wait a while, dinner, wait a while, and then nothing more after dinner. You go to bed, get up, and break the fast. So, but what do you think about that?
Okay, once again, remember you guys were here Friday night, and I talked about if you're a big eater, that you don't need to do three meals, because that doesn't fit your psychology. You do the meals in between. So let me start with dinner, and let me tell you what Ellen White was talking about. A lot of people talk about, here's the bottom line. A lot of us have jobs. Some of you work the afternoon to night shift, etc. When you eat that last meal, and your body is smart, it adapts. When you eat that last meal, you want to wait 3 hours before you go to bed, so you don't get indigestion. So if your last meal is at 9, you go to bed at midnight. If your last meal is at 5, then you're going to bed about 8 o'clock. That rule about, you know, what time is the last meal in fact, came from a physiology that it came from a time period where people kind of had a set schedule. But some of you were graveyard, some of you might be in the medical profession, you might work at night to where your dinner is actually breakfast, your body makes the adjustments. So here's the bottom line. A lot of these things and beliefs have been invented without looking at the physiology. So the dinner thing and the last meal thing is about how much time before you go to bed. You don't want to go to bed on a full stomach. 3 hours, whatever that last meal is. The second thing about the three meals, some of you can do that. If you have a more sanguine personality, food gives you power. And there's a lot of thin people I know, healthy people I know, who eat more than three meals a day. But the thing is, you have to program your portion sizes. So it's not one size fits all, it was fits you. And this is why I have a problem with the internet people trying to teach something as it's gospel. How many Adventists do you know worship in a more gospel style like we did today? How many Adventists do you know that worship in more a conservative operatic style? How many Adventists do you know you walk into a church and not one lady has on earrings? Not one lady's wearing a pair of pants? Guess what? We're worshiping the same God. He ain't struck down anybody. It's preference. But the principle is, I'd rather have you in church with your makeup and your earrings and your loud music than have you outside of the church, not coming in, because we're judging you based upon what you look. It's the same thing with diet and exercise. If it works for you, keep that gospel for you and the saints that want to join your church. But if it doesn't work, then other people have options. That's the way I look at it. You know. Remember, George Burns, bad example. He smoked and he lived to 100, and he wasn't the only one. I'm not telling people, oh yeah, go out there and smoke cigarettes. He suffered and had to be on O2. And then when he got to 100, he could only tell jokes for about 5 minutes, and he had to go get his oxygen, then come back and tell jokes for another 5 minutes, and he wasn't even that funny. But what I'm saying is, we got to be careful when we're trying to pigeonhole people into rules, when we, you know, ignore the principle. It's not going to save you. So, you know. All right. Any other questions? Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. In your brain, you have a chemical called dopamine. That's the feel-good chemical. All marijuana does, liquor does, gospel singing does, working out does, even intimacy. All it does is it raises dopamine in your brain. So the person who's addicted to marijuana or bad substances where they're getting the feel-good, but the damage with it is to figure out what could be swapped out for something that gives them the high without the damage. So yes, it would be for that person to try or be presented to with healthier ways to feel good. And the explosion of marijuana being used by our teens is because they just don't feel good. Vaping, same thing. It's the same dynamic. It's dopamine in the brain. Yeah, that's all it is. Yes. Insulin, yes.
So type 2 diabetes, is that the same thing? I know the insulin situation is not the same thing, but can you turn it around? Is there a cure? Will you always be diabetic if you're a type 2?
Yes, after a certain point. So if you were here, I talked about A1C. Mm-hmm. Once you pass an A1C of about 7, you've got diabetes for life. Here's what's happening with the type 2. Let's say this is my pancreas, and I've got 10, it's called beta islet cells. Sometimes I have to go deep, not to insult you, but just to show people that, you know, you're not talking to, like, you know, any old fly on the wall here. But I only go deep, not because you don't know, but I just want to show you that I'm taking the complex and making it simple just so that we can know what we need to do. So in the pancreas, let's say we have 10, they're called beta islet cells. The beta islet cells are the only ones that produce insulin over a lifetime. Every time you eat a meal, these 10 cells release the insulin that's needed to process a meal. Sometimes, because of the quality of a meal, only 5 of these cells need to release their product. But if you're eating, you know, high glycemic index foods like the ones in red, all 10 of these are working. Over time, 1 gets tired, 2 gets tired. Now we're talking about type 2 diabetes. Typically, and I'm just giving you, you know, big picture. Typically, when a person has a A1C of about 7, about 15% of those beta islet cells aren't working anymore. But if they change their diet, these other 7 can handle it. Once they go past 7, though, now they're at a point where even if they change their diet, they still need some form of medication to process that sugar.
Okay, yeah. So the A1C, because typically it comes out, I was diagnosed with type 2.
Yeah.
When I was diagnosed, I think it was like 7.8, somewhere there. But now I'm 5.6.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the A1C goes down, but typically you're telling me I got to still take that medicine?
Yes, you still have the diabetes. Here's what's happening.
I'm still praying.
No, here's what happened. So typically, you're depending upon what it is. If it's about 500 milligrams of metformin extended release once a day, that's safe for that A1C to keep it there. What has happened is you were in that zone where I said you could reverse it, but then you got to look at age. Not calling you old, because you look about 30.
Oh, gone. Husband, did you hear that?
Am I right? About 30, 20?
I'll be 60 next week, but okay.
Have mercy. I know. No, even though I wouldn't guess you were 60. I would not have guessed that. But what happens is, too, in time, this is why, remember I mentioned apoptosis? There are a certain amount of your cells that naturally die. So the best thing for your doctor to do is, if you're at 5.4, you at least want to be, you know, my advice is on the 500 milligrams extended release. You only take it once a day. And because here's the thing. We want you around for a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? We want God's people around for a long time. Not saying something would happen, but my thing is balance. You don't need to be on 1,000 of metformin or 850 or 750, but there is a version that's an extended release. Along with you continue to do your diet and lifestyle, and you keep,
right,
you know.
We'll talk to my doctor about the stent release, but I still believe God is a healer. He can make it all go away.
No, he is. He is, but.
That's my prayer.
But
I had to take my medicine.
This is not the body that we were intended to have. You know, this is not the body we were intended to have. The Bible says it is appointed. Unto Solomon talks about the eyes fading. The hearing going away, the teeth falling. He talks about all that. These are things that are supposed to happen. The only thing that we could do is slow it down. But, you know, eventually the inevitable. Is there? I saw. Nope, that's it. That's it? Okay. All right. So, well, that's it. Okay. We'll close out in prayer. Let's all stand. Oh, I'll turn it over to you, Brother Paul.
Let's get Dr. Colin Ross. Now, how many of you want him to come back next year?
Could it be in April? You know, we could celebrate Black History Month in April.
But that's already been done away with anyway. So we can celebrate Black History at any time now, right? It's up to us. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, yes. We have to get you next year.
No, I'll answer. I got it. Yeah, go ahead. Ask it.
I have a prayer request for all of us. I want to pray for my family, my daughter especially. I just want to ask.
Yes.
Get one in right quick.
Always. We're always open for prayer.
And that's going to be every Sabbath that we're going to have those prayer cards, and we can put them. We may not have a tree, but we'll have the prayer basket. Oh, okay. Somebody else had a. All right. Well, let's stand, and we're going to be dismissed. Our deacons, we want to make sure. Carlos, do you have those magazines of social justice? Okay, but make sure that you get one before you leave. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, we're just so thankful, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, of health. We're thankful for the knowledge that Dr. Colin had to give to us, Lord. We pray that we will internalize it, Lord, and apply it, Lord, to our lives, and then shed that knowledge to someone else, Lord. We're praying for Alvina's family, Lord, who's requested special prayer, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will meet that need, Lord. You know what the situation is. Lord, we know that you are a prayer-answering God. You said, before we call, you will answer. While we're yet speaking, you will hear. So, Lord, we pray that you will touch and intervene in that situation, Lord. We pray that you will bless each household here. We pray that you will bless the Ross family, Lord. Continue to anoint him and his wife, Lord, as they travel internationally, Lord, spreading this knowledge, Lord. Continue to protect him. Continue to anoint him, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we want to be faithful to that end. Now, bless us and keep us on our way home, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.